tonight is you can live happily ever after. Now, when I said that, remember, when we're listening to God's voice, God says you can live happily ever after. That is open to whosoever. It's not just a small group. It's not just, see, you know, well, if you all act this way over here, you can live happily ever after. No, he opens up his love to whosoever will. Doesn't matter about background. And what matters is, will you accept my love? Amazingly, so many generations reject the love of Christ. Of all the things we would reject, you see different religions that have such stringent guidelines. You've got to kill so many Christians. You've got to do this because that's the will of their God. And yet, the God, the one and only, the great I am, says, I want you to love. I want to bring peace to your heart. I'll fight your battles for you. Don't worry about them. I'll take care of it. We serve, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the only deity that is truly in existence. And through that, he focuses purely on love, purely on forgiveness. And the warnings that he puts out, which so many just push aside, those warnings, he said, heed them. And when man rejects, as the Lord said, the time is coming when I will close the mouth of my preachers. You all think about that one. As God warns us time and again, you will be searching for places to where you can hear the word of God, but you will not hear it. That's frightening, because that's the existence in hell. Okay, folks, let me go. I'm going to back up here on the what I'd given you all in your first handout, but this is, you're going to live your life on one of three levels. Remember, I think all of you have that copy. Level number one, for those who are listening, you will do what you want to do. This is the level where most of the world lives today. Number two is, level two, you will do what you think you ought to do. This is the level where most Christians live today. But that is not the highest level. Level three, you will do what God leads you to do. This is where God wants all of us to live. God did not tell us to rewrite. He did not tell us to ignore his guidelines. He told those of us he called to preach and teach for us to preach it and to teach it. He did not give us permission to change it. Not one iota. We could not change one jot or one tittle. We could not and do not have the right to say, well, yeah, but I love them. And you know, I think I just want to cut them a little slack. And that way I'll get to see them baptized. And folks, baptism comes after an individual says yes to Jesus Christ. After that individual has come under conviction by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is not the preacher that brings him under conviction. It is the word of God that the preacher and the teachers are supposed to present in front of them. And once his word is delivered, then that individual, whoever they may be, that group or whoever, then that group is responsible for what they do with it. Have you ever felt responsible for just about everything? Do you ever go through that period in your life, no matter what happened? You know, if I hadn't done this, that wouldn't have happened. If I hadn't, folks, and we get caught up into the what ifs. The what ifs of life is just about as bad as our statements about the theys of life. Well, I wouldn't have gotten in trouble if they hadn't pulled me into it. I, preacher, chaplain, I would never got drunk again, but they pulled me into drinking. They pulled me into shooting up. They pulled me into all the sins of life. You all remember years ago when I had Dolores make for me a grave and a tombstone. You all remember that? And the grave, she used some cloth to lay it out like it's a grave. I had it up in front of the church. And on the tombstone, I still got that. We still have that in there, don't we? Yeah. Unless Kidder or somebody has used it for something else. Anyway, and on it, it had, they was one of the ones that said, let's bury this. Here's what it is. Here's what we are looking at in they, and then they have different things that were listed. It need to be in the grave. And we need to start accepting responsibility for our own actions. You can live happily ever after. Let's look at it. Heaven is a place where God's people live happily ever after. Now, where does it begin? With us, it begins right here on earth. The happy ever after was a main focus of God's love to each one of us when we said yes to His Son. I don't wait to die to understand that I'm living happily ever after. On this earth, we deal with the trials and tribulations of life. Okay, let's think of it this way. Talking about a battlefield. All of us about, being called to God's army, and where is the battlefield for me? Where's the battlefield for you? The greatest battle that you and I fight is the one within. Because we are battling against the worldview within our own human existence. So the great battle is, if I will not stand and fight my inner battle that rages inside me as an individual, you're doing the same thing. All of us realizing that Satan is at war against God's children. We are the offspring of Jesus Christ. Satan said he would attack the offspring of Jesus. The church is the bride. We are His offspring. And the battle will rage within us. Each one, as a different individual, will fight different battles inside. Now, those battles will continue until we're out of this physical body. How we handle ourselves in these battles is looked at by God. And I have a key for you of how God thinks, because Jesus showed us all of this in His actions. All God wanted to see was for us to have the intent of doing it right. He wanted to see that we had a desire to do it. Yet, He says in His Word, we cannot do it. Man cannot change himself. Man will never. Well, good gracious, we can't even control the tongue. And He said, it's like that rudder, that drives guides the ships. And once it gets to wagon, do we praise God with one part of our tongue and then curse with the other? A creation of God? So the battle that's raging is within us. But God says to us, okay, you can live happily ever after. You and I, looking for that day, gives us hope. Looking for tomorrow and wanting to see the positive that God will bring in our life, so many times the positive is brought into our life, we accept it as a negative. Why did this happen to me? And then later on in life, we look and say, I would have never thought of forgiving that individual, but I knew it happened to me. I've experienced something that has gone on with an individual that God called me to teach or talk to. And how would I have been able to do that? Well, again, God says it is warfare. But he says, here's the book. What's our problem? We won't read the guidebook. We will not read the battle plan. We must know the battle plan of our enemy. I was watching a documentary on Rommel of the Third Reich. That's right, of the Panzer Division of the... on how, you know, he was lifted up as such a great man, and then he was one of the plotters against Hitler to have him assassinated, and looking at all of that and noticing that these minds, Rommel especially, he didn't care about his men. He ran them into slaughter, let them get slaughtered. On one of the battles, he finally retreated. But he did that because Hitler told him to stay there and fight. So he wanted to go against. And, of course, we do know what happened. He was took cyanide. And he was given the opportunity to die that way. And then they said he died in a vehicle crash. So you see the evil catching up. And God says in this human condition, evil is prevalent. It's how you handle it. How do you have the desire in your heart to do what is right, like Paul did? Yet he kept saying, but I can't do it. I can't do it. Every time I want to do it right, I'd get it wrong. I cannot do it. Well, the whole life that Paul led is a warning for us, and also a good educational life for us. It was the idea Paul wanted to do it right, but he couldn't. And to teach us, look at all the disciples again. Take them. Folks, they were rough as a cob and had horrible manners in many different ways. That's a sort of a polite way of putting it. But they were like us. Don't you remember when all of these, do we not read in Scripture that Paul is one of the writers of that Scripture that says that all of the prophets of old, they were men just like we are. We have trouble, grabbing hold of that. All the great leaders were just individuals like we were and are at a point. Okay, let me get into this. I'm wanting to preach something else. Heaven is a place where God's people live happily ever after, Revelation 21:4, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I heard a gospel song the other day. It says they'll only be crying tears of joy. Well, it sounded good rhythm, but folks, the Scripture says there are no tears, period, in heaven. So, no more than you're sending one board at a time up for your mansion. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Remember, we are the first things. According to God's word, that all was created for us. He created it for us. He did it all of the creation of everything else in the first five and then created us. And then he had rest. He rested. And he looked and it was beautiful until sin entered the heart of man. First things will pass away, meaning victory is already assured. If you know God through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you will live happily ever after. Too many of us say, well, wait a minute. I want to live happily ever after right here on earth. How could I live on earth happily ever after? right in the middle of what all is going on. It's hard to try to find a day of happiness, total happiness, total peace. I don't know whether I've ever felt that in a day or not. That's why that I'm uncomfortable here on earth. I haven't got to go home yet, because this is not our permanent dwelling place. Ecclesiastes 3:11. God has made everything beautiful for its own time. I've noticed looking at pictures. I was pulling out Mom's stuff tonight, Fan, looking at some of the pictures of my mother in her younger days and all. She was a looker. And did you all notice or think anything about that as we get older, our beauty fades? Have you noticed that we become our daddies and our mamas in the looking? Have you noticed that is an expression of God's love to us? For until this body dies, we cannot be in the presence of God. We have to separate from this body. How many do you think would refuse to accept Christ if they knew they could live on earth, let's say, in the best looking time period of their life, where they felt the best? How many then would really be looking forward to life eternal with Jesus? How many selfish people do you meet? It's all about me, me, me. I've noticed that. Babies, it's that way. Children, especially the little two-year-old troublemakers. As you know, how rough and tough they are with each other. And they're hard to manage, the terrible twos. Well, I got news for you. It gets worse on the other end also. We revert back to that. Guaranteed it happens if you live long enough. God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity, or in the human heart, eternity. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. You and I will never know that, the total of God's work from beginning to end, especially in this human condition. You know, and I'm wondering, because it's obvious from Scripture that in heaven there's a process of what we go through also. I'm not dealing with salvation or not, but I'm talking about in our learning process. And again, later on we'll see where the Lord talks about they'll go back again to and fro from the new earth that will be created into the presence of God. And, you know, what does God have in store for us? I'm excited about it, but I also hurt, because there's a lot of folk that are not going to be with our Lord simply because they do not believe. And it ought not be that way. Our church is very welcoming. If a person doesn't feel at home in this church, they got a problem, right? I mean, this is the most loving, hugging, and shaking hand church that you'll ever find. Next, there was a rich young ruler who came running to Jesus with this question, Mark 10:17-18. Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, listen to verse 18 closely. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. Now, stay on that one for a second. This individual looked at Jesus, realizing and calling him good teacher. Jesus is letting them know there's only one good, and that's God. This young man was recognizing Jesus as God. He recognized the goodness of Christ, and Jesus is, you know, bringing that out to his disciples and all around him. None is good except for God. I can just picture that person smiling, knowing because the Lord had just let him know, why do you call me good as a question? No one is good except God alone. That's the fulfillment of the prophecies. God will be revealed in the actions of those who profess to be his. And Jesus, God incarnate. Then there was a man just the opposite. He was a common thief, a pickpocket, a robber, a felon, a nobody. Luke 23:42 reads, on the crucifixion day, he cried out, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Recognizing Jesus for who he was, the opposite of the rich young ruler was the poverty stricken on the cross, a commoner, a thief, whatever it is. I don't believe they were... That's according to his nationality, could not be crucified outside of that of murder. Anyway, there he's dying on the cross, and he recognized Jesus as God. At any point in our walk, we have the opportunity to recognize who Jesus is. It is our responsibility as Christians to make certain that we will bring God's word down to get out of the private Christian language of, only us Christians speak like this, and bring the word to the people where they can understand it. If they're in the ditch of life, you got to be able to speak ditch of life-ism. You would have to be able to bring the truth down to the simple gospel. What's the simple gospel? Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's it. Simple for us to say. The attaining that simplicity cost our Lord his life. Step number one. Here's how we're going to deal with it. Solve the right problem in our life. When you take away the cause, then you eliminate the symptoms. You go along with that? You know, they give you an offer. Larry, you want the cancer all the way out, or you want us to pick and choose? No, pick and choose the whole thing. But when you take away the cause, then you eliminate the symptoms. Listen again to the description of heaven. Revelation 21:4 again. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. We are not told much, folks, if you will read, about what is in heaven. But we are told what is not in heaven. Heaven equals the absence of anything to be sorry about. The absence of anything to be sorry about. You see, our sins of this life will never enter heaven, but we will. Again, just because of Jesus Christ. Yet mortal man will never know the extent of the heavenly realm. That is going to be one learning experience that we can enjoy throughout eternity. Ever learning and knowing who Jesus is. Jesus said there were many that were ever learning but never able to come to the truth. In heaven, we will continue to learn of the love and the graciousness of our Father. Ecclesiastes 3:11. God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. Everything beautiful for its own time. You and I, we're living in our time. How do I know that? Because we're living in our time. This is our generation. We don't get another redo. We don't get any of that. This is our generation. And we serve a Savior that lets us know you can start new every morning. Not only that, you can start new every other second. Whatever it is that attacks you, you need to know that God says, I'm ready and willing. I'm right here. Let me take it from you. Let me bring that peace to you. The most stern statement Jesus ever made to any crowd. Here it is. John 8, 20 through 24. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. You remember me saying Christians don't worry, because even during the attack of Satan, he does not have authority to touch you until God gives that authority. And when God gives it, you be thankful, because you're not feeling any of it. Then he said again to them, I go away and you will seek me and will die in your sins. Now, do you remember later when he's telling his disciples, where I go, you know? And his disciples said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. You got to tell us. Now, in this one, he says, I go away and you will seek me and you will die in your sins. Okay, his word will be pulled. See, the power is in the word of Christ, the power in the blood, the power in who Jesus is, the holiness of God's word. Where I am going, you cannot come. Different than what he told his disciples. So the Jews were saying, surely he will not kill himself. They thought he was suicidal. Well, it founded it too. Will he, since he says, where I am going, you cannot come? And he was saying to them, you are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. It was an opportunity. It's not, you know, he come in and said, okay, all of you are going to hell, but let me give you a way out. Believe in me. Do you know how that we're able to believe in Jesus? We come under conviction by the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, Jesus says, you would not have known that to Peter. Peter, you would not know to say this unless my Father had given that to you. So Peter recognized him at, well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And remember that conversation? Jesus saying, Peter, you could not have said that unless the revelation came from my Father. So therefore, Jesus is revealed to us by the Father through the Holy Spirit, and we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. If you die in your sins, then you cannot go where he is. You know, that's not very complex, is it? Now, the way you solve the right problem is by taking the second step, which is know the right person. Heaven is God's home. Know the right person. Again, you know, throughout the world, you hear this all the time. Well, if you're not in the knowing of who to get a job there, then you can't get a job. Well, I got news for you. If you don't know Jesus Christ, then you can't go to heaven. It's all in who you know. My salvation is based on who I know. My entrance into heaven, who do I know? And it's always been that way. It is, do you believe that Jesus is who he says he is? Jesus told his disciples that he was preparing a place for anyone who wants to live happily ever after. You know, I sort of like the Fountain of Youth. Well, it's Ponce de Leon. Was that not? Am I right? Looking for, okay. Jesus said, I got something better. I got you, instead of the Fountain of Youth, I got you eternal life. And you don't have to worry about your looks because you're going to be beautiful. You're going to be handsome to my Father. You're going to be receiving the blessing that only God can give you. Why would I want the Fountain of Youth? Why would I want to be stuck here, around here, when I don't know anybody? My whole family's gone, everybody else is gone, and you keep reliving. I've seen enough movies on that. But it's factual. I don't want that. I want to do my time. Now I sound like the criminals. I want to do my time, get out of here. Well, doing my time is a focus of doing it for Jesus and sticking to his truth. You believe in God, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. They're already there. Jesus is going to prepare. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. This is a good one. Where I am, there you may be also. See, I don't care. People say, where is heaven? I don't care. It's where Jesus is. That's great. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So the name droppers, you ever get around people that are name droppers? Well, the general told me this when we were out eating together, or, stuff like that. Nobody thinks anymore about how foolish that sounds. I know Jesus. I don't know anybody that can top that. I know Jesus. I know him personally. And I know that other Christians know him personally. So why am I going to get excited about a kiss from anybody else? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. The best part is the last part. Step number one was when you solve the right problem. This is when you'll find it. Step two, and you know the right person. Here's step three. You go to the right place. You will never be completely happy on earth because you were not made for earth. You were made for heaven. That's why you're unhappy. That's why you will never find the ultimate peace here. John 5:28-29, don't be so surprised. Indeed, the time is coming. And this is Jesus still telling them. People, why do you all act surprised? Hey, you disciples, why do you always act surprised when I'm showing you something and telling you something that I've already showed you and told you? Why do you keep acting so surprised? Don't be so surprised. Indeed, the time is coming. Now, the time, what we call time, this time is coming, meaning God's in control. He gives me a certain number of years or whatever it is. And I am blessed, as you are blessed, with that period of time to either promote the gospel of Jesus or not. Again, you talk about total freedom, it's in Christ. Even after a Christian is totally, totally in his heart accepted Jesus, Christians continue to mess up, doing the stupid things, right? That we know not to do, and yet we do them. Do you know that the love of Jesus never diminishes? Any more the love you'll have for a child when they had those cases of the stupids. Do you ever remember doing anything dumb when you were in your teen years? Can Phyllis, can you remember that far back? Yeah. Sometimes we just don't want to remember something. John 5:28-29. Don't be surprised. Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life. Those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment. The Christian will never see the great white throne judgment unless we're spectators. Nobody's ever got that straight for me yet, all of these. But we will be ushered in because we've just passed through the judgment seat of Christ and he shined us off. When we die, we're going to be forever in one of two places. We will either live in heaven happily ever after, or we're going to be eternally dying, but never able to die, in a place called hell, where happiness can't be found.